Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vets program this afternoon, and here to take your calls is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital in Del Mar, New York. She is an expert. Oh, gosh. We have such fun talking about pets, and you know it's skunk season. We'll talk about that. She doesn't theoretically work on skunks too often, but you see them on the road, and try not to hit them. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. If you have a pet question, you can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. Tweet your questions and comments at @WAMCVoxPop, or go to Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. But again, the number to call is 800-348-2551. Hello, Carrie. Welcome back to the show.
Well, hello there, Ray. How are you?
Enjoying the winter, are you?
So far, except for the lack of snow because I'm a skier.
Well, that can be a problem.
Yeah, I don't think my skis are going to hit the ground this year.
Go way north.
Canada. Actually, you need to go to Colorado and Utah this year. That's where all the snow is.
All right. Well, you could do that. And you mentioned that it's the romantic time of the year for skunks.
Yeah. So I was very surprised to see some dead skunks in the road when it was so cold out a couple of weeks ago, and then found out that it's skunk mating season. So we've already had a few dogs get hit with the oh wonderful smell of skunk.
Oh boy.
So, you know, just be aware of that. Maybe put your nose out the door before you let your dog out early in the morning and make sure there's no odor in your yard.
Because dogs aren't smart enough to escape?
Oh, God, no. They love them. They'll go
really?
Right for them. That's why they almost always get hit in the face because, you know, they got to go check out the little furry kitty and they get
funny.
A face full of it. So.
Oh, well, our number to call here is 800-348-2551. So if you have a pet skunk, now's the time to call. Let's go to Ann in New Paltz. Ann, you're on.
Hi, I have a question about using Remedil and other painkillers in an 8-year-old dog who seems to have chronic joint problems. She's had a couple of treatments or weeks of treatments of laser, and that knocks it back a little bit, but when she does vigorous hiking, it shows up again. And at 8, I'm a little concerned about starting her on a rest of her life of Remedil, and I wonder about its dangers. And I've heard about sea cucumber as a possible replacement.
Well, I will tell you right off the bat, I do not have a great knowledge of the alternative therapies, so the sea cucumber I can't really speak to.
What about acupuncture?
Oh, acupuncture I think works quite well in arthritis.
Okay.
But as far as Remedil use, the nice thing about Remedil is it's kind of like taking an aspirin when you have a headache. You don't need to necessarily give it to your animal every day, depending on how severe their arthritis is. There are a lot of dogs who just maybe need one, like you said, after a big hike or a, you know, overstrenuous workout, just like you would take some ibuprofen if you, you know, did a hard workout and were sore the next day.
Right.
Long-term use, yes, there are some potentials, although they're very small. Remedil has been known to potentially cause some liver problems, just like any of the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So usually, if you're going to be using Remedil for more than just an acute injury, if it's for long-term arthritis, most veterinarians will recommend doing some baseline blood work and then doing, you know, screening blood work every, you know, 6 months or a year to keep an eye on the organs. Luckily, the dogs that have a problem with Remedil are very few and far between. The vast majority of dogs, it has been known to keep dogs going way longer, you know, than if they had nothing. So,
great. Well, thank you very much for that information.
You're welcome.
I'll get the blood work done and investigate acupuncture.
You bet.
Thanks, Ann. We appreciate the call. Our number to call is 800-348-2551. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest on this Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop. Let's go to Bill in Albany. Bill.
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm calling because we're going to visit our vet on Friday. And this is like a quality of life issue regarding our dogs. My wife and I are very responsible dog owners. However, over the past year or so, there have been symptoms, and we're wondering if we should put our dog down. If I could just list these symptoms. And the last one is the most serious. There's an inability for her to climb downstairs, so consequently I have to pick her up, but that's minor. There's weakness when she climbs the stairs, so I could always pick her up. But over the past year or so, there's been a loss of hearing and eyesight. And she also takes Rimadyl because she has bad joints, if you will, and her oftentimes her rear legs collapse and she falls down, usually on her butt. We're giving her prescriptive and non-prescriptive over-the-counter meds. But the one that's really bothering us lately is recently she's contracted, if you will, fecal incontinence. Mm. And she doesn't indicate when she has to go to the bathroom, so we put her out morning, noon, and night. But there are times when, again, I'll pick her up because she can't climb downstairs. And as I'm carrying her down the stairs, she'll just defecate all over the house or all over our deck. And the other night, we woke up at 5 in the morning, and she had to go to the bathroom. She was all over the house. Recently, she defecated in her bed.
Yeah.
And we're like crazy over this because we love our pets, and we don't know what to do.
Yep. Well, this is always the hardest decision in a pet owner's life is deciding, you know, when it's time. And what I always like to do is to try and give the dog's quality of life a grade. So look at the things that give your dog enjoyment. Look at the things that give you enjoyment with your dog and give them a grade. And then look at the things that are troubling the dog and troubling you and give that a grade. And if you're getting more failing grades than passing grades, then it might be time to consider, you know, letting your animal go. You know, a lot of dogs that have incontinence, it's very upsetting to them because they've been trained and they know they're not supposed to go in the house. And especially if it's something where they can't, hold it for physical reasons or whatever, it's very distressing to them. And, you know, mental distress can be just as bad as physical distress. So I think it's good that you're going to your vet and have that discussion. But, you know, before you go, between now and then, try and think of those things of grading their life and their quality of life and see if that helps.
Yeah, because I don't want to put her down just because we're inconvenienced. I mean, we love our pets.
Correct. Yes. Yep. But it's not just an inconvenience to you. It's also an issue for her. Or him.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Yep, Bill, thanks a lot. Okay, before we take our first break here, and I'll remind you of the number, 800-348-2551. Before we take our first break, here's a question, an interesting question from Ian in Saugerties, who says, our cats clean themselves, then occasionally cough up hairballs. Our dogs clean themselves, but don't seem to cough up hairballs. Why do cats do this and not dogs?
Well, the latest thinking in hairballs is that...
There's latest thinking in hairballs?
Yes,
I never knew.
Is that... Well, at least I went to a conference in December, and one of the veterinarians doing a talk on basically cat digestive issues. His feeling is that cats that have hairball issues because they have an underlying intestinal issue.
Interesting.
So a normal cat will not throw up a hairball. So if your cat throws up hairballs on a regular basis, it's probably a sign that they have probably minor but probable form of inflammatory bowel disease.
Interesting. And is that treatable?
Oh, absolutely.
So yep. What would you do?
Well, I have actually had some pretty good luck with these cats that's their only sign is hairballs. They don't have diarrhea. They don't have weight loss. You know, they don't vomit their food. It's just hairballs.
Yeah.
I have actually found that using a probiotic on a regular basis seems to help.
Okay, and so this would just be like the probiotics you see?
Well, they make a probiotic just for pets.
Presumably you're not giving your cat yogurt, right?
Well, you can potentially give yogurt, but they also have pre-made packets of a powdered probiotic that is tasty to the cats, and you just sprinkle it on the food.
See, that's funny, because tasty to a cat is it's such a ridiculously difficult thing to deal with. Cats, you know... a food one day is suddenly no good the next day. How are you going to get a cat to eat a powdered medicine?
Well, this one, the one that we tend to use is a product made by Purina, and they also make Temptation cat treats, which are like kitty crack.
nice.
So most of the cats like the Fortiflora.
All right, fair enough. All right, our number to call here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets Today, back with more calls coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, educating children pre-K through grade 12 and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning. WaldorfSaratoga.org. Wash and Wag Pet Grooming Salon, Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Professionally trained groomers, organic, natural products, no cage drying, Facebook and 866-WASH-WAG. Carrie Haddad Gallery, Hudson, presenting Winter Exhibit, paintings by Bruce Sargent, Joseph Maresca, David Drew Bruner, and Harry Orlick, opening this Wednesday through March 20th. Open 7 days, CarrieHaddadGallery.com. Upstate Divorce Mediation, specializing in divorce mediation and collaborative divorce, helping couples who are seeking a legal separation or divorce. Offices in Albany, Saratoga, and Catskill. UpstateDivorceMediation.com. And Fleury Lumber, Route 10, East Hampton, providing advice and assistance for projects small and large. Items such as Benjamin Moore paints, hardwood flooring, Anderson windows, Trex decking, tools, lumber, hardware. FleuryLumber.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. We're joined on this Pets and Vets edition by Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital. The number to call is 800-348-2551. Max in Latham, New York. Max, you're on.
Hi. Good afternoon. I have a follow-up on what sounds like what you just talked about. Is I have a cat that is constipated. It only goes to the bathroom every 7 to 10 days.
Oh, boy.
It's 18 years old. Otherwise in good health. It doesn't throw up any food. It doesn't have hairballs. It just doesn't want to defecate.
Well, that is a fairly common problem with the elderly cats. I think it tends to be a two-pronged issue. One is a lot of 18-year-old cats are going to have some form of kidney dysfunction. And the kidneys have two main jobs in the body. One is to regulate the water in the body, and the other one is to get rid of waste products. And when cats' kidneys start to not work 100%, which happens through wear and tear and time, and when they live to be 18, there's wear and tear there, the first thing to go is their ability to regulate their water. So they're unable to reabsorb the water going through their kidneys, and so they tend to pee a lot. So a lot of these older cats, right, they make big pee spots, which is fine if they can drink and eat enough to get that water back in. But I think most of these cats don't quite make it. So they're living in sort of a very mild dehydration state.
Oh, interesting.
And if you don't have that extra water, you don't have the water to moisten the stool as it goes through the colon. So they tend to make dry, hard poop. The other thing is their colon seems to slow down a little bit. And so it's not moving the poop along as well. And the longer stool sits in the colon's job is to absorb water. The more water is going to be absorbed. So again, you end up with the hard, dry poop. So you can take care of this two ways. One, certainly it's not a bad idea to have an 18-year-old's kidneys checked and make sure that, you know, you're not dealing with kidney disease. And there are things that can be done for that. And two is to either add moisture to the food. So you're going to, add some water to the canned food so they're getting extra water that way. Or give them some sort of a mild laxative. The hairball therapies are a laxative that's basically a flavored Vaseline. Or you can do something like a Miralax, which is a non-flavored powder laxative.
I have been using fiber for her, but that yep. doesn't seem to be making any difference.
Yeah. So something like Miralax or just a more of a lubricant may be more okay. beneficial.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Max. Appreciate the call. Martha in Great Barrington. Martha, you're on.
Hi. I have a 13-year-old Bichon who's very peppy and was sliding on the deck into my house, and I think sprained her hip or paw. She's in no pain. She's able to stand on all four legs. However, she's limping now.
Okay. And this is a hind leg. You said hip or...
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So one misconception that a lot of Ornus do have, just like you said, is that she's not in pain, but she's limping. So limping is a sign of pain in dogs. They don't cry. They don't yelp. So if she's limping, she's in pain. And if she slipped, one of the most likely things she might have caused is potentially an injury in her knee, where they get a ligament issue in their knee. So if the limping is, you know, no better in a day or so, it might not be a bad idea to get her checked, because if she's torn a ligament in her knee, that's potentially a surgical fix.
Okay.
So, okay.
Surgery on her?
Say it again.
She's 13 years old.
Oh, she's 13. Yeah.
I would not do a surgery on her.
Yeah. Well, 13, you might not want to do surgery. So, but there are medical treatments that can help with the pain and the inflammation. And
costochondroitin.
Yep, like that, and or things like Rimadyl, like the previous caller was talking about.
All right, thank you.
But I would have her checked.
Thanks, Martha. Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551 on this Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop. Over to Tara in Tilson. Hi, Tara, huh? You're on.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Doctor. How are you?
Good.
I have a Shih Tzu. He's, he's a rescue for us, so we're not exactly sure on his exact age. We guess about 8. He has an issue right now where I'm low on funds, so I can't do the absolute best for him that I wish I could, but I do what I can. And he'll have, it's a shoulder issue. The doctor's not exactly sure what's going on with him. They've done x-rays. When it does happen, he'll stop drinking water completely. He'll stop eating completely, and he will just lay there and scream out in pain all day, all night, and it's just heartbreaking. They give me prednisone to give him and meloxicam to give him when he does go through these episodes. It doesn't seem like the medicine helps him. You know, I do get the urgent care AD food, the Hills diet, for when he does go through those episodes, and he'll eat that, and I'll put water in it, and that's the only way he'll get his food and water. But he said at this point in his life, it's going to occur. It could occur today, and then he'll get better after a few weeks. So I was just wondering if you had any ideas on an alternative medicine he could try that would help him with his pain. Like I said, I'm not exactly sure of what the problem is, if it's a slipped shoulder or if it's just an upper back problem.
Yeah, to me, the thing that jumps to mind is the fact that you said he screams in pain. And
I had to text my neighbors, like, oh, goodness, just so you know what's going on.
Yeah, uh-huh. I'm not torturing my dog. Right. Dogs, the most painful thing in my mind for most dogs is nerve pain. And that will tend to make dogs scream.
Uh-huh.
And so when he screams, is he holding the leg up or is he?
It's not we can't even tell, because one point the soft spot that it seems like bothers him is okay the next minute, and it's on a few inches over. So it just a generalized area. We're not exactly sure. It's in the upper, in the upper shoulder, upper back.
Right.
And during the X-rays, nothing came up.
Right. Well, unfortunately, you know, a lot of things with nerves are not going to show up on an X-ray.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of times, if they have a problem actually up in their neck, it can cause shooting pains down a front leg. And that may be what it's called root signature, and that may be what he's having.
You know what? He does sometimes get a limp in his upper right leg when it does happen.
Yep, yep.
Root signature.
So one thing that, I mean, acupuncture would probably be great for him, but if your funds are limited, acupuncture is not usually the cheapest treatment.
And is that something that we could do, like if it does happen, is that something you have to do consistently, or could we try it, you know, as often as we can?
Yeah, you can do it, you know, when he's having a bad spell of it. The other thing is you might want to talk to your veterinarian about trying something called gabapentin.
I've heard of gabapentin. That's like a Lyrica that humans take, right?
It's a nerve pain agent, and it can work quite well in dogs like it does in people.
Yeah, I noticed the other medications he takes, like prednisone and meloxicam, those are all things that they do. And he tells me, okay, when he does it, just treat him like a human, try to get him to lay still. I'm like, okay, good luck with that.
Yeah, right.
So I'll go ahead and go with that information that you just gave me with the gabapentin and talk to the doctor about the root signature, which you're saying is the nerve shooting down his leg, and he's about getting some acupuncture.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
This is something he'll probably have for the rest of his life.
It could be, yes. You know, if he's got a bad disc, it might occasionally press on the nerves and cause the pain.
Hmm. All right. Well, I'm so glad I called. Thank you for your help, and good luck to everybody else out there with your pets.
All right.
Thanks, Tara. We appreciate it. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Let's go over to Paul in Latham. Paul, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Got
a two-part question here. I've got a Newfoundland Retriever mix. He's like 14 years old, and I have a young puppy. It's like a terrier mix, and the terrier is very, very, you know, hyper, obviously, as a six-month-old puppy, and borderline aggressive, and I'm trying to find out the best way to introduce them so they can happily live together. And the second part is I heard just the tail end of your discussion on remodel, and I'm wondering if you could just touch on that or maybe point me to a place where I could get a transcript of that conversation.
Well, first of all, you can hear the whole show online at WAMC.org. Just go to the Vox Pop page. It'll be up about half hour after we're done. We'll have the whole audio of the show.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
As far as introducing a puppy to a 14-year-old, well, first of all, you know, congratulations on getting a Newfie mix to 14. That's very impressive.
Yeah,
wow, what's the shelf life on a Newfie mix?
It depends on how much Newfie they have. Newfoundlands are a giant breed dog, so they don't tend to live, you know, much into their double digits.
Probably
Really?
More of a retriever, but he's definitely got the Newfie.
Yeah, but any large sized dog that gets to 14 is good. That's a good outcome.
Right.
So introducing them, you know, I would, first of all, a lot of times the dogs will for the most part regulate themselves. You know, if the young one is being obnoxious to the old one might give him a little, you know, snap and, hey, buddy, you know, chill out.
Sure. He does that quite often. Of course, what compounds the problem is his hind legs aren't the best. You know, they give out on him on occasion.
Yep.
Especially when the little one is pouncing on him.
Yep.
So it makes it harder.
Yeah. And then the other thing is some good obedience training for the young one. You know, teach him things like leave it and off and, you know, things like that so that if he starts being too obnoxious with the old one, you know, or a lot of times obedience classes, they'll teach dogs how to go to their bed so that, you know, if he's being a bit of a pest, you can give him the command of go to your bed and, you know, get him to leave the poor big guy alone so he can have some peace. But
at that age, we've been working on pretty much all that.
Yep.
You know, it's good to hear it from professionals.
Yep. But a good obedience class would probably go a long way.
Yeah, great. Okay.
Thanks, Paul.
Well, thank you for your help.
Appreciate the call. Over to Madeline in Rhinebeck. Madeline, you're on with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin.
Hi. I have an 8-year-old cat that I adopted as a stray about 6 years ago. And I would say within the last year or so, he's taken to some very peculiar, different attitudes about water. So, for example, I get a water bowl. He pulls it across the floor. So I get a bigger one because he tips that over. And now he climbs on top of the bowl to get to the water. He climbs in the bathroom sink to drink water, which he never did before. So is that just for my amusement, or does that signify anything?
Well, it could signify something. Question, have his litter box habits changed? I mean, is he urinating more? Do you see bigger wet spots in the litter box?
Not particularly, unless he's drank a lot from the sink, but okay. That's not an everyday occurrence.
Okay. Because again, you know, there are several, and being that he was a stray that you adopted, mm-hmm. you know, maybe he was 2 years old when you got him, maybe he was older. So, mm-hmm. you know, is he actually older than you think he is? The best thing to do would be to get his urine looked at, because that urine will tell you a lot. It, you know, is he making, cats normally make a very, very concentrated urine. And again, the first thing to go when there are problems in the cat's body is they tend to start making a more dilute urine.
Wow.
So, you know, and you can see if there's sugar in the urine, is there protein in the urine, all that kind of stuff. And if there is, then you want to move on and look at other things. So he may be trying to tell you that there's something starting in his system that should be checked.
Or could it be that the cat is just going berserk, as cats are tend to do?
It could be, but it's unusual for this to be a new behavior at that age. So I'd be a little more concerned there's a medical reason behind
fair
it.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Over to Rory in Petersburg. Rory, you're on.
Oh, thanks very much. I have a corgi that is about 3 years old and is shedding like crazy. And I wondered if that was indicative of the breed, or could there be a health problem?
Okay.
Well,
you got to turn your radio down a little bit, Rory, all right?
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
So how long have you had the corgi?
Oh, since he was little.
Oh, all right. So
he
is this
a little puppy?
Is this shedding new?
He's always shed a lot, but it seems lately he's shedding even more.
Okay.
So I know that there's I don't know if there's Cushing's, but usually they have bald spots when they have Cushing's.
Correct. Well, they can. And they tend to get thinning hair as well.
Okay. Well,
you know,
he has very lustrous hair.
Yep. So
it's
corgis
just comes out faster than I can vacuum it up.
I mean, corgis as a breed, I would say, are a relatively shedding kind of dog.
Okay,
I mean, they
all
do like to lose a lot of hair.
Okay. Well, I've never had one before, so this is maybe that's what it is.
But they also, how old did you say the corgi was?
He's about three.
About three. Yeah. So it's, you know, things like Cushing's or even thyroid disease can both cause shedding. But in a three-year-old, I would say less likely. So unless he's getting bald spots or other, you know, skin issues, it's more likely your typical corgi.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much.
Thanks for the call. All right. Before our next break here, Doc, we'll take a few emails and see if we can dispatch them. My cat, Mrs. Peabody, is over 12 years old and has a healthy lifestyle. This is from Jamie. Lately, she has been having fainting spells that only last a few seconds, leaving her in a daze. She does have a sensitive back as the result of an injury when she was young. What can be done for her? Do they give steroids or blood thinners for this? She did have these symptoms years ago, but that turned out to be her drinking water that I had ivy planted in. When I took that away, she stopped. Could it be a relapse?
I would be very worried in a fainting cat that she has heart disease.
Okay.
So I would get the kitty to the vet ASAP and have them listen to her heart and see if she's got a heart murmur. Does she have an irregular heart? You know, fainting in a cat can be a serious issue.
Okay. All right.
And especially, you know, 12-year-old older cat.
All right. This one's from Steve in Westfield, Mass. I've had two Shetland sheepdogs. After running around the yard playing fetch, they have both stopped in their tracks and chewed on their front legs. This activity has happened all their lives. Is this the animal equivalent of shin splints? Is this a sign of something that has a remedy? That's from Steve in Westfield.
Well, the fact that they're Westies or Shelties. Did you say
Shetland.
Yeah, Shelties.
Sheepdogs, yeah.
So one thing I have found over the years with Shelties is they do seem to get arthritis at a fairly young age as compared to some other breeds. So I would be a little worried that they are having some joint discomfort. And one thing, I know some veterinarians out there are very against aspirin, but I don't...
Why? Blood thinning?
Well, it can cause more stomach upset. It has more of a chance of ulcers. But as a test, I think it's a great pain tester.
Okay.
So one thing to do would be to try aspirin.
All right.
I would speak to your vet about the dose. I don't want to go giving doses out over the
radio. From a legal standpoint.
But you can do an aspirin test and see if this is being caused by pain.
Okay.
And then if it is, then you might want to look into maybe getting x-rays and having their legs checked.
All right. This one is from Anne, who says, "Hi, all. Speaking of hairballs, my little old cat hasn't had any issue with them for ages now. I wonder why. Also, she's 19, healthy for her age, but is drinking a lot. Seems spacey at times, laser sharp at others. She eats a lot, but is really skinny. She's always been a small cat. She's been seen by the vet, but I do wonder about what to watch for, as sometimes she seems like she's having bad days. Other times she's fine." Sounds like everybody. Listening to the current caller, old cat, my cat definitely pees, but also drinks a lot. Hope that's all clear. Cheers, Ann.
Yeah. So 19, that's a darn good run. Darn good run for a kitty. And again, at 19, drinking a lot, peeing a lot, most of the elderly cat diseases cause those signs.
Okay.
And the fact that she's eating a lot and skinny, there's a good chance she could have thyroid disease.
Okay.
And or kidney disease and or diabetes.
But at what point do you say, well, gosh, 19, it's bonus time?
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, at 19, they're doing pretty well. But if she's got a disease like thyroid disease, it's very treatable.
Okay.
And why can't she make it to 24? So.
Well, fair enough. All right, let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is our number. Home stretch coming up with Carrie O'Loughlin.
Support for WAMC comes from Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts. Conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture, comprehensive pet care, and health services since 1998. WindyHollowVet.com. Pave, tile, wood, and stone. Using French artisan techniques to manufacture pre-finished oak floors, decorative and terracotta tile, and importing aged French limestone, showroom by appointment and online. PAVETile.com. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. HenyonBakery.com. Bed and Bowl, Huntington, Massachusetts, a home-style bed and breakfast for dogs, offering overnight boarding on a 50-acre farm, convenient to Northampton, Springfield, and the Berkshires. BedandBowl.com. And Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more, where eyewear is an art. Facebook or visionexceleyecare.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC, Pets and Vets with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. Ray Graff here. You there. The number to call is 800-348-2551. And let's go to Ben. Ben, I don't even know where you live. Where are you, Ben?
Winchendon.
Winchendon. Where's that?
That is on the New Hampshire border north of Gardner.
Wow. Well, nice to have you on the program. You're on with Dr. O'Loughlin.
Hi, Doctor. I'm calling because my wife and I, we have a cat, which we adopted about 2 years ago. She was a stray. We got her from a shelter. And when we got her, we knew she suffered from the cat immune deficiency virus. And she recently, I guess about 6 to 8 months ago, she started having trouble eating. She would, as she was eating her food, she would act as if she was in discomfort and kind of run away from her food, come back later, repeat the same process. And she began to lose some weight. And we brought it to the vet. The vet couldn't determine what was wrong with her. Didn't appear to have much problem with her teeth at the time, which is what I suspected was the issue. And we got her some high-calorie food, which was a softer consistency, and she seemed to eat that better. And for the past probably 5 months, she did much better and gained her weight back. But for the last month, she started doing it a lot more and has stopped eating again. And she's really not eating much of the high-calorie food either. We did bring her to the vet, I'd say, about a month ago, and they said the gingivitis seemed to look like it was taking hold more, and they recommended pulling some teeth. And they said it's not uncommon for the cat to lose most of their teeth even in this situation. And that seemed kind of severe to me, and I was kind of nervous to go about that. But obviously, you know, the cat needs to eat as well.
Right.
So I guess I'm just looking, is there...
So I guess the question is, there are two possibilities. One is that she could have a pretty common issue with her teeth that doesn't just happen in cats that have the FIV or the feline immunodeficiency virus. It can happen in any cat. And those are called resorptive lesions, feline resorptive lesions. And it's a syndrome where cats actually sort of dissolve their own teeth.
Yikes.
And it can be quite painful. And in those cases, you'll look, and once you get rid of the tartar during the cleaning, you'll see that there are actually cavities in the side of the teeth.
Huh.
And the teeth can actually break off. So those painful teeth need to come out. Because cats are definitely much happier with no teeth than teeth that hurt, as you can see from the cat's reaction when she goes to eat. My other concern with a cat that has the FIV is, could she also be developing something called stomatitis? And stomatitis is sort of gingivitis on steroids.
Yeah.
It's their gums get very inflamed, and sometimes once you get them out and you can really see into the back of their throat, you'll see that the whole back of their mouth, it looks like it's been burned. I mean, it's red and raw and nasty. That, it turns out, is the cat reacting abnormally to the tartar and stuff on and the teeth themselves. And those cats really do need to have all of their teeth removed.
Okay.
It sounds drastic, but it's the only way to get rid of the disease, and the cats are a lot happier when it's done. So,
I would definitely schedule the cleaning.
Definitely get the cleaning done. Probably some dental X-rays to see what's going on with the teeth, and a good look in the back of the mouth when the cat's out.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Ben. We appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Can you get cat dentures?
No.
No. Okay.
Cats don't need their teeth to eat cat food. They only, if they had to live on mice alone, they would need their teeth.
Be trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go to Paul in Greenfield. Paul.
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you here.
I have two Pembroke Welch Corgis. One's Corey and one's Daisy. Corey's 8 years old and Daisy is a 5 year old. And at the 3 year old age, she developed some hip problems. And I brought her to the doctors, and the doctors gave us that medication to help the pain go away for her. And over the last year, believe it or not, she has gotten really intelligent, and she actually comes to me, and she'll pick her leg up, and she'll give me those sad eyes, and we'll give her one. But just the other day, she came out of whatever was going on, and I saw her running through the house and just having a grand old time like corgis do in houses. And I was just wondering, should I still be concerned about it and just calm her down with that pill, or should I just let her go and have her come to me when she wants it, because that's how intelligent she is.
So you're worried about her running too hard and hurting herself?
Yeah, because when she did hurt herself, she hurt herself when she was running in the snow, hopping through the snow. And I'm pretty sure that the doctor said that she had blown out one of her knees, and it was her back right paw or back right leg. And she's been, over the last 2 years, she has been phenomenal for a dog. She's been really good. I don't know if you've ever heard a corgi say, I love you, but she does.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
At this point, my feeling would be it's 2 years since the injury. Let her be a dog. Let her play.
Yeah.
If she overdoes it and she's a little sore, then you can give her one of the pain pills. But, let her be a corgi. Let her have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, she definitely has a lot of fun. I mean, she's very intelligent. I can't believe it. The other corgi that I have, he's a little gorilla. He's about a 35-pound corgi. He's all muscle, and he's a very healthy dog. And he's the dog that actually says, banana, I love you. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. The dog talks.
The dog talks. Are you taking any of the dog's pain pills by any chance, Paul?
No.
All right.
I should take them somewhere and have them recorded, because it's really amazing.
YouTube. All right.
The one thing, Paul, I would say with Daisy, was it, with the sore leg, is be careful with her weight. That is the best.
She's very light.
Good.
She's very skinny. Very healthy.
That's the best thing you can do for her, is keep her light on her feet, because that'll keep her from hurting her legs.
Yeah, one of the things that we do is we keep them on a diet every day at 3 o'clock. Every day on the clock, there is somebody there to feed them approximately a half a cup of food, and they have ice water every day.
Good.
They're spoiled.
That's very nice. Hey, Paul, thanks for the call.
Absolutely. You guys have a great day. Sometimes you got to have a good call on people. So thank you so much for your time, and have a safe and great day.
You too.
Well, all right. Thank you very much. I feel like I just got a ticket. Nancy in Williamsburg, you're on. Nancy.
Yeah, hi. I have a rescue dog. He's about 5 years old. He's a Wheaton Terrier mix. He's a good, good dog, 42 pounds. And he tested positive for Lyme. And he doesn't have any of the symptoms. I did notice, like, we were out for about 3 hours out in the woods a couple weeks ago, and he was a little stiff coming up the stairs, but I'm very keyed into him, and that's the only thing I've noticed. And I don't know whether to treat him or to see if he develops it. I've heard that most dogs never develop.
You're absolutely correct. So I'm assuming this was found on a routine screening.
Yes.
Heartworm test. Yes. So the way that at least our practice deals with this is, most dogs that get tested positive on a screening test are never going to get sick with Lyme disease. However, there is no way to know for sure. So you have several options, and they have a follow-up test that can be done. That's called a quantitative C6, and that will give you a number. It's like doing a titer. And if the number is high, then that is indicative that there's more likely to be active bacteria currently in the dog's system. Mm-hmm. That would recommend treatment. If the number is low, then they were just exposed. And in my mind, then you just keep doing really good tick control and keep them up on their Lyme vaccine. And you test them, every couple of years.
Yeah.
If you don't choose to do the follow-up test, then one thing that I definitely...
What's it called again? It's
quantitative C6. And if you decide not to do that test, one thing that's a good thing to do is to at least look at a urine sample. And the reason we say that is that the scary form of Lyme disease affects the kidneys, and it causes them to leak protein into the urine. So you can do a quick little urine check on for protein. If there's protein in the urine, then you definitely want to follow up with other testing.
Okay.
Right.
And the vaccine is safe to give even if he's got... I didn't get the vaccine because I was just scared of everything.
Right. So again, this is controversial in the veterinary community. Some people feel that you should not vaccinate dogs that are already positive. My feeling is, as long as they're not showing any signs of the protein losing in the kidneys, that it's way better to vaccinate them, even though it's not 100% protective. It's more protective than zero, which is no vaccine.
Nancy, thank you. So why is it controversial? Why would it not be good to give a dog who has Lyme vaccine?
Because if they get the kidney form of Lyme disease, the kidney form of Lyme disease is actually caused by the immune system reacting to the bacteria. And if you then go ahead and vaccinate them, you stimulate that immune system even more, you could exacerbate the problem.
Okay, let's go to Sherry in Slingerlands. Hi, Sherry.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
Good. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
We have an incredibly healthy, almost 13-year-old Maine Coon cat male, and he has a dark spot on his left eye, which we had him evaluated by our vet 7 months ago, and it's gotten slightly larger since that time. It was about the size of a pencil point when he was evaluated back in the summertime, and it's grown a little bit, and he doesn't seem to be in any pain. He's incredibly healthy again, and but it has expanded a little bit. We should probably bring him in to have him evaluated again, do you think?
Well, quick question. Are you talking about a spot on the cornea or is it on the iris, the colored part?
Yes, it's on the cornea.
On the cornea itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the biggest concern would be, and it's like a black spot?
It's a little brown. Yeah, he's got golden eyes, and you can tell when you look at him that he's got a little spot there.
Yeah, because cats can get these things on their cornea called corneal sequestra. and they can eventually cause an ulcer in the eye.
Oh.
So if it's gotten bigger, I probably would get it checked.
When we brought him in, the vet told us that it was the result of a hair follicle, an ingrown hair of some sort. She thought that that's what the cause of it was.
In the eye?
Well, so it didn't sound. We actually brought him in for another issue.
Right.
And while we were there, we had him checked out, and she thought it was fairly insignificant from what I could tell. My husband brought him in, so.
Well, I mean, the other option is you call your vet, since they're the ones who saw it in the first place, and say, the spot's gotten a little bigger. Do you want to see him right away, or can it wait until our next exam is due?
Huh.
That would be another option.
Okay. But you think he should be seen again?
I don't like to mess around with eyeballs. You know, they only have two eyes, and it'd be nice to have him keep both of them.
Sure.
Good advice.
You know.
Okay. So. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Sherry. Over to Diane in New Salem. Hi, Diane. You're on.
Hi. I want what Paul's corgis are on. Hi,
yeah.
Ray and Dr. Carey. I had a Abyssinian cat that was very ill in February. She's 10. She ended up having an infected gallbladder.
Mm.
It led to biliary stasis, and her liver functions were off completely off the wall. She's recovered, but I never got to find out how often this sort of thing happens and what the recurrence possibility is.
Well, it's a little hard to say not knowing her whole history, but, you know, certainly cats are a little more prone than dogs due to the way their bile ducts and their pancreatic ducts and their intestines are all hooked up to have more inflammation in that area. It's a little easier for bacteria to sort of come upstream from the intestines and get into the liver and cause, you know, problems. Some cats will have a single episode of hepatitis or biliary hepatitis and never have another one. And in other cats, it can be the start of something we call triad disease, where it's a combination of hepatitis, inflammatory bowel disease, pancreatitis, those three organs interacting with each other. So assuming that your cat's liver values came all the way down to normal after the disease, it might not be a bad idea, you know, 3-4 months down the road to have them checked again and make sure they're staying low. And if they're staying low, then I probably would say, well, he's fine until he acts sick again.
Okay.
If they're not normal, then you might want to do a little more investigation.
Right. Well, thank you so much.
And I'm glad your kitty got better because they can be tough.
Diane, thank you for the call. Let's quickly go over to line 4 and Catherine in Allstud, New Hampshire. Nice to have you here.
I have a feral cat. I've had her for a few years. She's come around, but she, I think, was a singleton. And I'm wondering if there's any possibility of her learning how to play.
Okay.
She's terrified of string and anything that has to do with playing.
Yeah, my guess is probably not.
Oh.
You know? That's what I thought.
You know, depending
on... She missed that stage.
Yeah. I mean, some cats are just not players. And certainly if she's, you know, been living out on her own and you know, not quite sure about people and strange things, you know, it may just not be her thing. And...
She's a very interesting cat because her favorite place is squashed between my back and the back of the chair. Like a squeeze chute.
Yep, yep. Well, she probably feels very safe.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very safe little spot for her. So,
yeah.
You know, you could try with a few different kinds of toys. You know, if she doesn't like string, you could try like a laser pointer or things like that. But some cats just aren't into playing.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, you know, if she's happy just hiding behind your back and being warm and toasty, I would just let her do that.
Catherine.
That and eating.
Yes.
we're out of time, Catherine. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye now. Well, that was fun, Doctor. It was good to have you back, and watch out for skunks on the ride home. Support comes from Claire Pearson, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, for 14 years offering plant spirit medicine and energy clearing for health, body, mind, and spirit. C-L-A-R-E, Pearson.net. The Department of Theater Arts, SUNY New Paltz, presenting the Arthur Miller drama A View from the Bridge, March 3rd through 13th, newpaltz.edu/theater. Apex Solar Power, Queensbury, New York. Locally owned, installing solar panels, solar hot water, solar pool heating. ApexSolarPower.com for information. And Water Wheel Village, Galway, New York, a country store since 1923, offering aged cheddar cheeses, nostalgic candies, New York products and gifts. WaterWheelVillage.com. Thanks again to Dr. Kerry O'Loughlin for being here. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thanks to Rose Schneider, who answered the calls. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Thank you for listening, and thanks for all the great calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's the annual Oscar show with Rob and Audrey. Stay tuned now for news.